Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This show is sponsored by our members who made donations. We'd like to give them a very big thank you. We have to cover the monthly costs of the radio station's software, bandwidth, phone lines and phone calls to be able to continue with the radio show. And thank you for listening.
I'd like to welcome my guest today, Juliana, who's from Ireland and originally from Romania. Thank you for joining us today, Juliana.
Thank you so much for giving the opportunity to share the information.
Good. Could you tell us what you take LDN for and how long you've been taking it?
I am taking LDN for a very rare disease called eosinophilic fasciitis or Shulman disease. And I'm taking from November 2016. Mm-hmm. I'm taking LDN after 9 months of suffering symptoms and all the nightmare with my disease.
Okay, so would you like to tell us your story? You know, what led up to you being ill, being diagnosed, and finally finding LDN?
Of course. It was 2016, I was 54 at the time, and I noticed on my skin, on my torso, and in some areas on my abdomen, a few brown patches where the skin was changed, was a little bit hardened, it was indurated, not painful, but just I didn't like the look of at the beginning. I didn't know what is going to come with those patches. So that is called morphea. A lot of doctors, they don't know a lot about morphea because it's linked to very sinister disease, and all from this large group of rheumatology, like scleroderma, collagen diseases, like dermatomyositis. Luckily, thankfully, it's not that. And I was on a holiday. I was feeling very tired, but I didn't really wanted to admit that I was tired because I'm normally an active person and working hard, and I didn't see as a problem being tired, you know. But my son said to me, when you go back home, please go and see your GP. I said, why do you think I need? He said, because you never look for a seat when we go somewhere shopping. You never look for a seat to sit down. That's something new on you. So I went to see my GP. I told him that I feel extremely tired, fatigued. I know I work a lot and I do long shifts, but I think it's something more than that. So he ran a few blood tests and everything came back pretty much normal. But I saw on the full blood count the figures for the for this specific blood cell, the eosinophils, raised. And I asked him, why are these raised? Because I'm not allergic. I have no asthma. So I said, why do I have them raised? And he said, oh, don't worry, Juliana. That's nothing much about them. You know, they don't really reflects a problem at the moment. And he also said that I have a little bit of fibrillation. He listened to my chest and he did an ECG. And he said, I'd rather send you in overnight to be monitored because your heart rate is a little bit not right. So yes, I listened to him. I went to A&E. I've been admitted overnight. in hospital, they did more blood tests, and they also did the test for the thyroid function, which came back showing that I have an underactive thyroid. I didn't know at the time about that. And my rhythm was converted towards the morning in sinusal rhythm, so I was discharged, came home, and was carrying on with my life. But I noticed in a few weeks after that, swelling in my limbs, swelling in my forearms, swelling in my lower legs, like edema, but it was pitting, shiny, painful when I was pressing it. Went back to my GP, showed all these new things. And of course, he asked me to give a urine sample to see whether I have proteins in my urine. And he also referred me for an echocardiac, thinking that probably I show signs of heart failure. And it was not the case. I didn't have heart failure. So I started to read myself, connecting raised eosinophils with myalgia and just Googling for these things. And something came up on internet saying eosinophilic myositis. And I was reading and I recognized 75% of what was there and what I was feeling on a daily basis. So I text my son and I said, I think I know what I have. And my son said, in this case, I have to look for a job in Ireland and buy you a wheelchair. And I said, no, we are not getting there. I was struggling. The pain started to be a little bit unbearable. The physical capacity was diminished a lot. I was not able to do things that you do and to take for granted. I didn't know that doing certain things like just spreading your bed sheets on the bed, it's a difficult thing to do. And it's causing a lot of pain. And I said, I'm not happy with how I feel. I went back to my GP and I said, could you please refer me privately to be seen by a rheumatologist or a plastic surgeon, because I need to do a biopsy. And he said to me, what sort of biopsy are you thinking of? I said, I told him what I am reading. And I said, I need a biopsy for skin, muscle, and fascia. It's the only way I can prove what I have. He said to me, why would you put you under that? And I said, it's the only way I can prove that I have something related to my raised blood cells. He didn't want to do that for me. And because he was not thinking that it's that serious, he never had in his career anyone with these symptoms. And he didn't even know what to tell me about the brown patches on my skin. So I decided to travel to my country and have things sorted, which I did. Long story short, I've been there. I met my rheumatologist professor from college. She diagnosed me from the door when I popped in. She said to me, lift up your sleeves from your shirt. She looked at my arms. She saw the signs. If you Google for EF and you ask for images instead of web, it will come up lots of pictures with exactly what I had, orange peel skin, the grooving sign on my arms, the aspect of the skin, it was so wrinkled and so discolored in some areas. And one of the areas was here on my inner forearms. And she, on the same day, when they finished in theater their surgeries, I went in and they took a biopsy from from the worst part of my body. It was a patch on my rib box. It was really brown, really hard, like cardboard, really. So they took a biopsy from there. I have a primary result in 3 days, proving that there are infiltrations with eosinophils at the site of the biopsy taken. And in 3 weeks' time, I had the final results, black and white, on the paper, came back to Ireland, showed him the result, and offered me exactly what my professor offered, the classical treatment, which is methotrexate and high dose of steroids. And I said, thank you very much, but no thank you. I am not taking 80 milligrams of prednisolone for how long, God knows, without being guaranteed that it will work. I'm in mid-50s. I don't want induced diabetes from steroids. I don't want more harm in my body that I already have. Back to reading, back to studying. This is the moment when LDN came up. It's a doctor in America. See, the concept of functional doctors, it's not very common, but I was looking into that part of dealing with the situation. And I read an article about Lyme disease and LDN. And it was from a doctor, Chris Kresser, an American doctor. He's a functional doctor. So I said, okay, let's find out more about this LDN, which I did. I was in touch in the meantime with a fellow sufferer from Switzerland who has a work done. It's on the internet, it's available there about our disease. And I printed here, this is the list of symptoms when you have EF. There are 30 symptoms. Before I started the LDN, I could tick 27 of them. And most of them, they start with difficulty, cannot fully, uncomfortable. So 27 of them, they were ticked by me. The problem now was to find a doctor to prescribe LDN in Ireland. So I start to Google for that. It was a doctor in Kilkenny. I was determined to go to Kilkenny to get the prescription for him. But luckily, I found an amazing doctor. He's a GP. He lives in Dublin, so it's only an hour journey for me. I met him. I didn't tell him on the phone what my problem was. I went there with my partner. I met him. We clicked just like that. The moment I mentioned fasciitis, he said to me, oh, Shulman disease. So he knew. Mm-hmm. He said to me, Juliana, I will be very honest with you. I never treated a person with that problem. All I can tell you is you have nothing to lose. Try it. Which I did. When I finished with it, his name is Edmund O'Flaherty. He is brilliant. He has patients from Norway, patients from mostly with MS, who are visiting him to get the LDN prescription for him. So my first prescription, it was 9 months after suffering a lot of symptoms, a lot of incapacity from my disease. So from April to November, I took my first dose. I took my first prescription. I remember my first prescription was already dissolved. So I took a solution from the pharmacy. But then after that, I was able to do it myself. So I was just taking my prescription as pills, doing my solution, taking my dose. My comfort zone is 3.5 mils. So I'm not getting any more, any less. This is my my dose. So I take that for 4 years now. I will never stop taking it.
Can you tell us, on a score of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what was your quality of life like before LDN?
Probably, realistically speaking, probably it was around 3.
And what would you say it is now?
I was pushing myself, mm-hmm. you know, pushing myself. Now I would say 9. Why is not 10? It's because some of the physical aspects of the problem are still there. So my skin is not 100% like it was before having the disease. I am able to pinch the skin now. 4 years I was not able to pinch, so hard was my skin on my arms and on my tummy, impossible to pinch between your two fingers, the skin. Now, that's why I said, so another thing that I cannot do at the moment is, I cannot join a gym or a yoga or something, a class, because I have my funny own way of lying down on a mat and getting up, you know? So there are still some problems, but I am 95% me, back to my capacities.
And how long did it take for the pain to be bearable?
I think for the pain, I'm not talking about bearable. My pain went completely. My partner never believed. My partner said, it's placebo, it's in your... I said, no, Donald. From being crippled to being able back to work, to do your long walks, to do whatever you are doing on a normal, you know, your house chores and everything. 2 to 3 weeks, I think. I remember I was terrified by escalators. I was avoiding the escalators because it gives you balance problems. You are afraid of not getting more pain. You are afraid of not losing your balance. And I was terrified about escalators. And one day I said, I will go on the escalator. That was 3 weeks after I started. And I was fine. I was fine. And another thing that really brought tears in my eyes, I was so down in that moment. When I traveled to my country for the biopsy and everything, a normal reflex, take your cabin luggage and put it up, and I couldn't do it. I started to cry. A gentleman helped me. Hmm. But, you know, being at home and not being necessary to lift something and to put it up in a slot, I didn't know. I was facing for the first time that situation, and I wasn't able to do it. And I remember after a year traveling back to my country for a holiday, my sister said, "Did you manage to put your cabin up?" I was afraid of myself being in bed, because if I hit my legs against something, even against something soft, the pain was really, really bad.
Wow. What an amazing story.
The pain went totally. The swelling in time. But a great achievement for me was I didn't have to put my body under the harm of methotrexate and high dose of steroids for God knows for how long. In my search for consultants, for rheumatologist consultants here in Ireland, very hard to find one. I went privately to see a doctor in a clinic called Bone Secure here in Dublin. He told me he had only 3 cases in his career. All 3 of them started on methotrexate and steroids, and none of them, they didn't respond to the treatment. Mm-hmm. So I had a prescription. I had it there, you know, given by my doctors, but no, I didn't take it. And I am so happy. I just followed my instinct. And maybe it's luck, maybe it worked. But you know, why not? Why not to try? Because it's amazing, the effect.
Well, we've come to the end of the time now. We're going to have to end it now. But it was amazing, really, really amazing. And we are so grateful to you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much. I would like to, you know, to open the eyes for some people, because I certainly think there are people with this disease out there not diagnosed properly. And my GP is really very nice. Every time I go there, I am VIP person in the practice. Every time when I go, first thing he's doing this to see if I'm hard. And he feels embarrassed because he didn't know. He's a GP in his early 40s. He didn't have the chance to meet another kid in his career. So,
well, we wish you every success.
Thank you very much. I have to tell you, my partner one day saw my sticker on my car, my LDN sticker, and he tried to peel that off. He said to me, "What is that? Is that London?" I said, "Take your hands from that." It is a story. And if there are people there with the same symptoms, and they can also search for the work of my fellow sufferer from Switzerland, Martin Fitzgerald is his name. He added me on the study as the only person with a happy ending, good results with the LDN. Now, Martin took the methotrexate and the high dose of steroids for about probably a year and a half. And then he has a very good insurance in Switzerland where he lives, and he qualifies for immunotherapy, which is a very expensive therapy. No, you can't afford that very easily, and you don't have access to that very easily. And he's well, but he's well with those therapies, you know. And I am that 1% or one person with the great results taking the LDN. We are in total around 400 diagnosed, but I think we are the tip of the iceberg. I think there are more people out there and probably are taking steroids. And, you know, my inflammatory markers in that time, they were high. And I don't understand why the GPs are not concerned when we have inflammatory markers high, because they trigger a lot of things. And if you remember, I was saying about my thyroid, well, it turns out that I have even there an autoimmune problem. Now, looking back, I think the two problems were linked a little bit together. I don't know if my autoimmune thyroiditis, my Hashimoto, triggered this or this triggered the other one, but I think it was a bit of both there. And I truly believe that LDN helped me with Hashimoto a lot, because I was with lots of symptoms from EF and with a lot of symptoms which are making your life miserable from the thyroid problem. Now, if I have to tick on this 30 long list, I can only tick maybe one or two. And it's what I told you about lying down on a mat, getting up from the mat. I can't go to join a class of, because I feel a little bit embarrassed doing that in front of so many other people, because I have my own way of getting up. But yes.
Okay. Happy. Thank you. Thank you.
This show is sponsored by our members who made donations. We'd like to give them a very big thank you. We have to cover the monthly costs of the radio station's software, bandwidth, phone lines and phone calls to be able to continue with the radio show. And thank you for listening. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.